Father, I ask your blessings now on this time. I ask this will be a good morning in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have so far discussed two ideas, but we've discussed a lot of things that aren't in your notes. We said, what do we do when God's people are, frankly, people? I had a good question at the end of the Sunday school. Tim McGrail asked me a question. Who should we help? Galatians 6, verse 10. Turn your Bibles, please. Galatians 6, verse 10. Everybody? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto whom?
Everyone.
Especially? So Tim asked me a question. Now, he knew that I quoted that verse. He says, do we have examples of this in the New Testament? So I'm going to ask you, do we have examples in the New Testament of the apostles or Jesus helping people who are unsaved? This is a real deep question. Yeah, he fed lots of different people, and I'm guessing they weren't all said, I'm a believer, therefore I get food. Pretty sure they were unbelievers. Now, do we have more obligation toward? Yes, if somebody in our fellowship or close to us has needs, we have a bigger need. Now, the first principle in your notes from last week was God's people give. Secondly, I said God's people give, and I don't care which word you use, cautiously, carefully. I think I prefer the word carefully. And I know Frenchie remembers this, but we're going to apply this. See, here's the problem. We're literally going to apply this morning. Got, you know what I understand, literally? You're going to have some OJT. I think we talked about from, what was the next word, Frenchie?
Through.
And what does that mean, Frenchie?
Via.
Yeah, but what does that mean in the line of helping people in need? What did Paul do? He raised money from churches. He said, people that you approve, I'm going to have you, people you approve, bring this money, and it's going to go to the big black hole.
Yep.
And Ezra is another example where they did what? Anybody, don't speak, raise your hand. Ezra did something specifically. He raised money in Babylon.
He gave it to each individual of the priest that counted it, and then when we got to Jerusalem, they counted
it. He named the names, counted the money, sent it to Jerusalem by those people, and when they got there, folks, this is simple. So we have an issue going on right now. So, by the way, when I say OJT, this is OJT time. I'll put it up here. We have a place that I go every year. My wife was there this year. It's called the My Own Volcano. I have pictures on my old dead phone of Jenny and I looking, and I have a picture, a selfie of two faces, the ugly one and the other one, looking back at that volcano behind us. Well, do you know, for the last month, month and a half, that has displaced, it's been exploding, it has displaced 90,000 people. You say, who cares? Those are Filipinos.
It's the size of your hometown.
That's the size of four or five counties where I'm from. More than that. My goodness, most of those counties are tiny. So here's the deal. How do we help them? My guess is for most people, and part of my job as a leader is to find out who really has needs that we can help. Most people would simply say we don't help them. We got our own problems. We got snow to shovel. I got TV to watch. And, you know, the Super Bowl's on. That was last week. All right, so what are you going to do? Now, I'm going to ask a question. We have people in need. Frenchie, I'm going to ask you. This isn't rocket science. You don't have to give me names. You got to give me method. If you don't get the method, you haven't learned. So if we give money to the people in my own area, I don't mean give money, actually help them with food, because right now a lot of them don't have anything to eat. And the Filipino government's going to help them in what way? just out of luck. You're just out of luck. FEMA in the Philippines? Yeah, good luck on that one. So this would be us. So what part is missing, Frenchie? So where should we do? Send it to the Filipino Red Cross? Why not? Well, how about this? How about politicians in Legazpi City? Is it true worldwide that politicians are always, is it just a worldwide thing? Wow. You know, that's shocking. I actually work with the same guy, he and his brother, every year, which hold the conference. His name is Ulysses Fundano. This is not going to come out of your pocketbook, by the way. It's already come out of your pocketbook. We have money in a couple, three accounts that we have gotten special gifts from. But, you know, at first I thought, well, they, as Louis says, the my own erupts every once in a while. Usually it's pretty minimal. This one's gone on a month, month and a half now, and many people are displaced. Nobody asked me for money. Pastor Ulysses' daughter kept sending me pictures, and then she sent me the reports that 90,000 people are displaced, and then she told me their little church is trying to help feed a bunch of kids. Now, I listen, folks, most of us, with the exception of one or two people, maybe Mutia, but she's not in here, and a few others, we could go a week without eating, and really, we'd be okay. Answer the question, yes or no? Some of us... Yes, I mean, I think several months. You ever see a Filipino kid? Let's ask a question. Where Dave, how much did you weigh when you joined the Marine Corps? Nada? Robert? 110. You weighed more. You're a porker, man. Can you imagine? Now, by the way, most people in the Philippines are thin, especially the kids that are poor. They say, what are we going to do? This is really philosophical, folks. We're going to send some money. Now, it'd be nice if Louis, I could send Louis back, but I don't trust Louis, so that wouldn't work. I'd have to send Marissa, too. That's terrible. I do trust Louis, of course. He deserves it. Don't feel sorry for him. By the way, folks,
I don't feel sorry at all.
Cliff is really on you this morning. Look at me, folks. We have some money that people have given for various things, for these kind of things. And actually, some people from outside the church, if that isn't weird, they've given us money for this kind of thing. We're going to send it, but we're not going to send it to any kind of black hole. It's going to go, and if you want to give, you're welcome to. Whatever we get, we have somewhere around $1,500. We're going to send it. Now, is it going to be just for Christians? No. But they have some places they go specifically where they can both evangelize. And understand, they're not the only church in Legazpi area. They're going to work with other churches to hopefully build what? Bridges. By actually, how did Joel Osteen do when the Houston mess happened? And he wouldn't let, now, of course, he's a pervert in anybody, you know, but besides that, you got this massive group of people, but you don't want anybody here during the rain when people didn't have houses and homes. Oh, no, lock the doors. Churches actually make the greatest impact. One of my friends, you preach for him, Paladang, I don't know if he told you the story, but they had a massive flood where he's at. What's the name of that area? Is he in Marikina? San Mateo. They had a massive flood. He showed me where it went. He said it was the greatest thing that ever happened to his church because they had hundreds of people came in and lived in the church. Now he says it was a mess, but because of that, they have very positive viewpoint in the community, even among government officials. You understand why we don't reach people. Some of us, we're glued to a television. You have to build bridges to people. Yeah, so that's how we're going to do it. Does that sound reasonable? So it's the people I've already been working with for 5 or 6 years. It's churches that I know, people that I know, and guess what they're going to do with it? They're going to feed some people for as long as this money lasts. to me, this is called OJT. If you don't get this, there's no more conversation to have. Now, do I think everybody's going to give? I'm not even asking for money, by the way, just so you know. If you want to give, you can. We're going to use money we already have to be a help. All right, let's look at number three. Now, let's go back to one thing. We are not talking about tithing. Everybody's sure of that. So we're talking about an offering which is above and beyond a tithe. I have said that we give cautiously or carefully. We give. And thirdly, we give biblically. And I think this is very important to understand. We'll read the verse in a moment. In your notes, in the beginning of the church age, people gave much and some gave all. This was not and is not what? You know, folks, if you sell your farm, you can only sell it once. If you give everything you have, you can only do it once. I think sometimes churches, by the way, have to do special offerings. Now, when I was here in the 70s, when this church was getting started, we had a lot of those special offerings. Some of that was to get the place established. I'm not opposed to that. One of these days, whenever we get enough money into our little egg account, I'm going to push for, we need to build some stuff around here. Now, do I like to do that? No, because all that's going to be is suck my life out. I already know that. But we might have to, some of us might have to sacrifice more than the usual quarter, flipping God. That's okay, but you can't do that all the time. You can't do a miracle service every week or once a year. It's too much. So then the question is, in Acts 2 and in Acts 4, they did some very heavy giving. But that's not what the, let's put two words on here. And folks, this is OJT. This is how you teach people to read the Bible. Sometimes the Bible records something, and sometimes it requires something. In Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, it's simply the record of what the early church did. There's never any place in the New Testament that that's what the church should do. It's simply what the early church, it's a record. Which means, by the way, on occasion, we might have to do similar things, but on the norm, now when you get to 1 Corinthians 16, it's what the Bible, what? Requires you to do. You understand the difference? Folks, there's many things in the Bible that it records. I hope you don't do all of them. I hope none of you think, you know, Solomon had 1,000 wives. I don't think I can afford 1,000, but maybe 10. I'm thinking maybe that's recorded for other reasons. What do you think? I don't think there's any place in the Bible that says, you know, you ought to have more than one wife. And no woman would ever want more than one husband. They probably don't want the one they have, but they definitely wouldn't want more. All right, in your notes. So let's read 1 Corinthians 16 together. So we give biblically. By the way, when you're talking to people about giving, look at me, friend. Don't give them a bunch of blather. Learn the principles of Scripture. I think too many, this is what I'm saying about OJT. Too much of our talk is blather. Feelings, opinions. You said in church week after week, you ought to learn truth. You know, the Bible talks about how we help those in need. We do it in a biblical way. So Paul says this, now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given, I think that's a requirement, folks, commands to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. There's a lot of truth packed into one little verse. Corinth had a problem. The city, the Christian church. Its biggest problem was, like many Christians, we kind of do things the way we want to do them. We don't care about anybody else. Paul is, by the way, it's the number, I've already preached in this Sunday school here, it's the number one problem in Corinth. It's one of the fault lines in Corinth, that they thought, I do whatever I want to do. Who cares about those other churches, what they're doing? Paul is saying, wait a minute. Number one, I have already placed in practice what churches are supposed to do. You're not special. You're not unique. See, part of it is, in a modern America, we don't only think churches are special. Some of us think I'm special. I do what I want to do. Unfortunately, we're to live under the commands of Scripture, all of us. Is that correct? So let me say it another way. If you'd have gone to the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica and the First Baptist Church of Berea and the First Baptist Church of Corinth and the First Baptist Church of every place Paul went, he would have taught exactly the same thing. It's what Baptists used to believe to the modern era, which we do our own thing, and then Christians do their own thing, and it's like, wow. We already know this was the problem, so let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ for the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at where? To them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. But the weirdest thing is, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So even though this is written to Corinth and it's very specific, folks, he wouldn't have said something different in Corinth than he did in Ephesus. He would have said the same things. So remember 1 Corinthians, the first, look up here. First six chapters are about hidden problems. From chapter 7 to chapter 16 are about hard questions. And remember, from chapter 7 to the end of the book, it's about questions they send him. It's very specific. It's Rhonda writing me a letter saying, what about? And yet Paul says, what I wrote back to Rhonda is the same thing I would teach. There was none of this, you're special, so you do it your own way. And it's Paul taught the same thing every place. By the way, the church is supposed to be governed by Scripture. Wow, that'd be a thought. Well, I believe we're under grace. We don't do that way anymore. This is the grace. The Word of God is the grace of God. All right, chapter 4, verse 17, he says the same thing. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Boy, a lot of teaching here. As I teach
everywhere.
In
every church.
Wow. He's connecting his teaching to Christ. He's talking about apostolic ways, and he says, and oh, by the way, I teach it everywhere in every church. 7:17. But as God distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. We'll skip down for time, down to the verse at the bottom, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. I mean, it's just universal teaching. God's people are to give biblically. So, bless something. Now, when I was a kid, my father would never say, bless you. He would always be, Jenny, Gesundheit, of course. He learned that in, you know, when he learned German in the war. Weird. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you learned anything today? So if I come to you next week and I say, the Bible records these people giving everything. What am I supposed to do? You're going to say? And then they're going to ask you, how do you know? What? That would be true. By the way, but you can't have a pat response. It has to be integrated, folks. I believe much of the material in the book of Acts is very important for us. However, things happen. Stuff happens. It records what happens. Also doesn't say a Baptist church should go on a journey on a ship. And the ship should be shipwrecked. And you should float to shore on pieces of wood. There's a lot of stuff recorded in the Bible to talk about a lot of things. But I do think it's important that you understand this. In our culture today, even in our circles, there's far too much of this, I do what I want to do. Let me ask you, is this true? Where'd they learn that from? Well, we learn it from our culture and the fact that nobody calls people on anything. I'm not a very nice person, ask my daughter. I call her, I call you, I call anybody on stuff. I'm a Christian. Are you? And I believe my Christianity matters. Therefore, the people I have influence over, I'm not mean all the time, but I think it's, I'm supposed to talk about Christianity, not let me not talk because people will get angry. Wow. In your notes, Acts 2 verse 42 is just one of the great verses because it's the nature of the local church and the church universal. They continued steadfastly in, by the way, what is Paul talking about? It's my ways in Christ. That's the apostles' doctrine. Christ is the ultimate head of the church, mediated through the apostles, but not through the apostles as men, but through what the apostles wrote and taught in the first century. Next, number four, God's people give submissively. Submissively. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order in the churches of, to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And if, unless I'm mistaken, that last word, poiesate, is a second person aorist imperative, which I think translates into do it. Just that simple. Got it? It's a command. Not, you know, if you'd like to do something else, or, you know, oh my goodness, if you'd like to go on a vacation to the Bahamas for 3 months, go ahead and go on the vacation, you know, nobody needs anything. You know, your vacation for the rest of your life is more important than giving. Okay. And by the way, I'm only mad at one person for vacation, and you know who that is. Drunken Duncan, so you can tell him. Especially when he goes to Texas to see friends of mine. But anyhow, number five. I think this is very beautiful. God's people give regularly. Or if you prefer, weekly. Why? Well, look what it says. Upon the which day of the week? Now, folks, this is kind of a funny thing. There are people who don't believe we should worship on Sunday. But here's Paul. He's saying, now, on the first day of the week, I want you to do this. Why would you do that on the first day of the week if you worship on another day? The whole idea is, you know, when you come together, set this money aside, get it ready. And this is going to be part of his whole process. I'm going to hurry through this because I actually want to. Can I finish this today? No. Ew. Way too much stuff. Upon the first day of the week, meon sabbaton. That's how it sounds in Greek. That's kind of interesting. First day of the Sabbath. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, we're back to that first day of the week stuff. When the disciples did what? So I'm going to ask you a question. Would it be okay if a church like ours started meeting on Saturday and not Sunday? A lot of churches do it. Problem is, Christians have always been rooted in worshiping on the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week. You say, well, I like Saturday. I can sleep in on Sunday. Okay. But it says, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And you, and this is, by the way, if you did not grow up Baptist, Tim Durham, this is how you know Paul was a Baptist. It's the next line. He continued his speech until midnight. So you don't have any question, this was a Baptist pastor. Yes, there was food. By the way, this wasn't in one of those 15-minute sermonettes. This was a good Baptist sermon until midnight. Yeah. Here are some real simple ideas. First day of the week, Christians gather. You think that's true? Secondly, first day of the week, Christians worship. We gather, we worship. First day of the week is already in place. So when Paul says do this regularly, weekly, on a kind of a rhythmic basis, he's not saying you already do this. Friend, could you imagine I'm the pastor of this church and I wake up on Sunday morning and say, you know, so-and-so wasn't nice to me last week, and they hurt my feelings. I think I'm staying home today. And it's snowing. You know, after a point, you know, Christians just gather weekly. Now, in some countries they do it differently. When I went to Romania, 1996, the Iron Curtain had just fallen, and they gathered weekly, differently than us. Because back under communism, you couldn't do a lot of things you wanted to do. They didn't have Wednesday night service. They didn't have Sunday night service. Of course, they didn't need Sunday night service because every service had three guys preaching. The short sermon, 20 minutes. The medium sermon, 30 to 40, maybe 50. And then the sermon, 50 to 60. Now you say, that's crazy. Now, let's think. Why did they do that? By the way, what do we do? What do we do here? We have Sunday school. We have Sunday morning. We have Sunday. It equals out to being exact same thing in Romania. Linda, what are they doing? I'm guessing you have one service on Sunday, or do you have two? You have one at night too? You mean Sunday morning, Sunday night, or how's it? And it ends up being Sunday afternoon, right? Don't be complaining about this place. Haitians are even worse. Starts at 8. Nobody gets there till 10. It's the funniest thing. Starts at 8. You get there at 10. Supposed to. I can remember going to preach for Franco, and he says, listen, I'm tired of Haitians being late. I'm going to tell them 3. We'll start at 5. And I get up to preach at 8:30. He wants me to preach for him soon. I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to be so tired. Because I get, listen, folks, you guys have been here. The service is over. You've gone out to eat. You've eaten. You're home. You're starting to drift off to sleep. And my wife and I are just getting out of church. That's a good Haitian service. Is that right, Nancy? Franco. May I say something to you? I don't care how many services, but I do think it's important for a Christian to worship on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. It's already in place. Look at me. This is OJT. I don't have to teach people why to be in church. You do. This isn't being mean to people. Hey, look at me. You get saved. You gather. What's your hope? What's your hope? The death, the burial, and the
resurrection.
Everything's centered on Christ. Christians gather together on Sunday. What? It's already in place. We come to worship. We come together. It's already in place. And lastly, the first day of the week acknowledges the significance, at least in my way of thinking, of the local church. It's the center of our giving in and through the local church. You say, that's because you're a pastor. Maybe it is, but I did it before I was a pastor. I thought this was the right way to do things. As a Christian, I believe in the universal church, folks. I believe in all of God's people being part of a body, but it's hard to give to the universal church. You know, I don't know, where do you send your offerings? You know, I don't know. Everything has to come down to a local church, and I like that personally. All right. Number next, 6. God's people give proportionately. And here's where people really get confusing. I'm making that word up. Because, see, look up here. This is happens. People say, well, let's read the verse first. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has what? And they'll say, well, see, I don't tithe because I don't make enough money. This is not about tithing. This is about. Now, I'm going to say it again. I've already said it. There is this. There is this. And hopefully, there is before kids when you had money. Or at least we had money. And then there's during kids. And look at me. And you never have money. The best day of your life is when, oh Lord, help us, the kids are finally finished with college. There was a 2-year period my wife worked way, she still works too much, but she worked way beyond what most people in this room would know. You say, why? Because didn't you know that pastors are very wealthy people? He makes so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. That's the reason he's always, do you ever notice he's always buying new cars? He had me ride in his car. He always scares me with cars. But now I want to say this. Hopefully one day there'll be a day after kids. I don't mean the kids are gone, but I mean, wow, the best day of my life is like, John's got a job. Thank God. It's a good job. And he's a worker. And I don't have to, first of all, if he gets in trouble now, I couldn't help him anyhow. Or I don't know if you ever get past grandkids. Do you ever get past grandkids? Probably not. Now, why do I say that? Friend, look at me. If you're here and you're in school, I think Sarah, she probably makes a couple hundred thousand a year. More? Look, by the way, I'm not picking on Sarah. I have no idea what anybody makes or gives. I don't care. But I would expect when it comes to giving to help people, you don't have very much. And you ought to give proportionately. Then there are those people that are wondering how they're going to finagle their money so they don't have to pay extra taxes. I'm guessing you ought to give more than a person like Sarah trying to survive and going to school. Now, Zach, he works at a Christian school, so we already know how much money he has. I mean, Zach just doesn't have a clue what to do with what he has. Is that right? No, that's not exactly correct. Folks, do you understand the difference? Answer the question. Do you understand the difference? Now, my opinion, and I'll be done with this. We'll pick up here next week. Look at me. Don't put your stuff away. Listen. My opinion is you should work yourself into a place where you're able to give more. It ought to be the joy of your heart. Why? The God of the universe is known for the word. Are you ready for a little Hebrew? You know it. Natan. I think it's translated into English Nathan, and it means to give. You think about how many times in the Bible you hear God giving. It's every place. So the more godly you become, I would assume. Now you say, Pastor, we're so stretched out. I know there are people that are so stretched out on their finances. Some of that is you're during that period when you don't have money. I got it. But for me, this is me. I think we all ought to work for a place where we have money to support more missionaries. We have money to help people that have needs. To me, that's called being a Christian. Now, you don't have to do it that way. You can spend all your money and get, look. I am sure the iPad has a 47th generation iPad. So if I come to your house and I look at your iPads, or your electronic toys that you bought the latest and greatest that you haven't used in 10 years because they only last 37 seconds. You can live like that, or you can have a computer until it dies and get another one. That's okay. Let me ask you, what do you want to live for? I think it's kind of nice. When our kids were young, my wife and I had decided that we'd send them to Bob Jones. Now, they had to work. Wasn't a free ride. At Bob Jones, kids have to go there, and what do? Work program. We wanted them, the day they got out of Bob Jones, to have no bills. John came out with no bills. Amy came out with no bills. You say, that's because you're wealthy. Yeah. Teeth grinding, folks. Why? Because I like to be able, don't you like to be able to help people? If you don't, we got a problem because that's who God is. And you're talking about godliness? It's the weirdest thing to me that people disassociate godliness from what God is like. Just think of that little word, N-A-T-A-N, Natan. It's all through the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of times. God gave. It's not in the New Testament. It's the word in the New Testament would be several different words. But basically, for God so loved the world. All right, we'll pick up on proportion next week. We will finish next week. This is what I would like from some of you. I would actually like you to do some OJT. You see, when I teach, I'm not impressed with my teaching. I'm impressed with your living. When you can pull aside your grandson or your daughter or your son or whoever and say, we're missing something here. Because the Bible speaks to that issue. These are the conversations, by the way, you should have around your table when you're eating. Can I tell you one thing that never stops? Mealtime never stops. And mealtime shouldn't change just because today my daughter and my son-in-law will be at our house. We won't be discussing what we're eating. We'll be discussing life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a prosperous time as we think about these ideas. I wish I had the ability that Tim Durham has to do this Christian life the way he can do carpentry. Teach young men how to actually do things. OJT. That's what we're doing here. We're learning ideas that we ourselves start implementing, and more than that, we start sharing and start connecting to the real world of life. Thank you for this day. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, folks.